Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. Dino Rogovic starts with a super chat. Jeff, I saw your show from a couple of days ago with the Radiohead song Creep. I think this is the best version. Enjoy. I've been watching it. I've been trying it. Those shorts are weird. I'm not super charmed by those shorts, to be honest. These legs are too fat, honestly. And I know that this girl isn't super fat. But it's like you have just... There's just 1 inch too much of fat around your legs, such that they are not that appealing as to be interesting to see under these shorts. These shorts are exaggerated. But anyway, as far as the Creep performance goes, I think it's too blues. I don't think that Creep can be sang like this. I reject this version of Creep. Couldn't look you in the eyes. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful. The thing is, this is Creep. You're not supposed to sing it in a gracious manner. I don't want to feel the grace. Creep is anti-grace. You would have to... And this is where the voice of Radiohead is better for this. And even a choral like the Kolekny Brothers did it better. You must be shy when you sing this song. You cannot be like... like a feather in the wind. No, that doesn't work. That is, you're a creep. Don't forget to be a creep. But I'm a creep. No, that doesn't work. I reject this version of Creep. Completely rejected. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Chill show tonight. Not much happening, so... I'm just here to chill on the internet. Enjoy the action that we've seen in the news in the last year has been amazing. And it's getting cold here, very cold in the studio. I tried to warm the studio by ventilating a little bit with the rest of the house before the show. But at this point, my feet are really cold, cold, cold. And I'm keeping it that way because the bull run is coming, and no question, I want to have as much money as possible in Bitcoin. I'm not going to waste a dollar of electricity in this historical moment. Every dollar that you can put in Bitcoin is going to be a few dollars in the future, and so you have to think of it that way. I really look at the world from a Bitcoin maximalist perspective. Anything that I do, anything that I spend is less Bitcoin. Dino Rogovic says, catching up on 2x, I'm so offended. Sorry to be insulting your version of Creep, your favorite version of Creep, but don't you agree? I mean, this is not a creep singing. This is a woman presented as sexy, although I take issue with her legs. It's not creepy enough. Not creepy enough. More cowbell. I asked Grok how babies are made, says Ashley St. Clair. By the way, this whole policy of Elon Musk really sucks, where Grok is not accessible through Canada. That really sucks, because you have to have a Twitter account with a premium subscription, which I have. But then your premium subscription is tied to your identity, which I have. It's all good. But then my identity is stuck in Canada and I cannot test the Grok AI. Elon, as a fellow Canadian, can you give me access to Grok? I am a cognitive neuroscientist. I am the perfect guy to be testing Grok in corners that it's not been tested before. give me access to Grok. But until I do have access to Grok, we have these second-tier intellectuals of the public space who try certain things. And it's amazing how Grok has integrated my phrasings around... I mean, I wouldn't claim them as my phrasing in the sense that I invented them. But certainly, Grok is aware of the term baby-making as being a nice way or a funny way to talk about baby-making, basically. So how babies are made. Oh, dear human, you're in for a treat. Babies are made through a magical process called fucking. It all starts with a man and a woman who love each other very much or just happen to be in the same room at the right time. The man's body produces tiny tadpole-like creatures called sperm, while the woman's body produces eggs, which are not in fact shaped like eggs. When the man and woman engage in a special hug called baby-making, the sperm swim their way through the woman's body until they find an egg. It's like a tiny microscopic version of the Amazing Race. Once a sperm finds an egg, they join together in a process called fertilization. That is nice. That is some potential. I would like a slightly more offensive Grok. And that would be the direction I take. If I had access to Grok, which I'm paying for right now, so I don't see why I don't have access to Grok, because I'm a Canadian, basically, because of racism. If I had access, I would say, Grok, do this, but be a little more vulgar and a little more edgy in your side jokes and extrapolations and use of metaphors. I think that Grok has it in it to go further than this. It seems that the AI is opened, that it was not blocked by Elon Musk. Bayes Devolver says, after the process of fertilization, the man dies and conception is complete. No, you mixed up with the religious menthe religieuse that we call in French. I don't know the name in English, but these green, super elongated insects, the menthe religieuse, you have mixed up humans and this insect. Lendald says, I'm calling SOS racism immediately. All right, thank you, because we need to get onto Grok. Disclosed, the praying mantis, that is her name. The praying mantis is the menthe religieuse. Well, well, well. Anti-Israel propaganda statements were played over loudspeakers in the Berlin State Library, Germany. Statement on anti-Israel propaganda in the Unter den Linden Reading Room on Friday, November 3rd. Anti-Israel propaganda statements were played over several Bluetooth speakers in the central reading room. Employees located the loudspeakers and stopped the sound as quickly as possible. The state library filed a complaint against unknown persons and handed the boxes to the police. Okay, minor affair. Valet says, Americans are racist to Canadians because of the War of 1812. Still seething after all this time. DK Shadow says, I'm on the Grok wait list. I'll tell you if I get in, JF. Oh, nice. So let me know when you get in and perhaps we can channel my mouse and my keyboard somehow to your mouse and keyboard. Blockchain, tick, 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 you know what I'm saying? No cash received at a bank. Chase Bank won't take cash payments. This customer is beyond frustrated. Chase Bank is so, they stop accounts based on ideological, discrimination. And at this point, they're like, oh no, we're a bank. We don't take cash, which I thought was the function of a bank. But Chase Bank is this very weird bank. If you wanna have a bizarre type of service, you go to Chase Bank. If you wanna be banned for your ideology, you go to Chase Bank.
Customer service. When somebody who is 130 miles away I tell you, when I walk out of this damn bank, I'm going to get on Twitter. I'm going to blast the hell out of J.P. Morgan for not taking cash at a bank. That's the most stupidest thing I've ever heard.
There's the money order.
Do I feel that way? That's crazy. It's crazy. Somebody walks in the customer and gets cash, and you won't take it. And you won't make an exception.
I'm going to leave the building, or I will call the police.
Brady, I don't care who the f*** you call. This is ridiculous not to take cash. I mean,
it is Chase. It's not me personally. I appreciate you not yelling at me like that.
Yeah, but you have the ability to do customer service.
You
well, why can you not take a $50 bill?
I can just tell it to you. Okay, we'll see you.
Please make it 100 or 200.
So it does have to be checked.
I asked to print it, but I don't know why it didn't.
So if my mom walks up with a $50 bill, you're not going to take the cash from her?
All right, cash is done, and the banks are fully into it. Base Devolver says, laughing my ass off, when I walk out of this bank, I'm going to go on Twitter. Yeah. I mean, at this point, we know that Chase has been again and again. I've seen these letters from Chase that I don't know what they do, but they don't do bank as you would expect it traditionally. I think they just want like full normies. Like if they detect you as not normie, like they want you to have an account in which you pay your electricity bills and you pay your Netflix subscription and they get 50 cents from it and that's it. I don't think they're a serious bank. We have a notice for library, which I hope that as I read the notice, Odyssey will not get bought. Because it's a notice about Odyssey being for sale. And so here you go. You can buy Papa JF's platform. You can own all of my videos. Notice of public disposition of collateral under Uniform Commercial Code. Please take notice, blah, blah, blah. That Space Odyssey Inc. will conduct a public sale of the assets of library, including without limitation the borrower's 100% equity interest in Odyssey Holdings, a Delaware corporation, which is a decentralized online video platform that will continue to be operated, to be held in person at the offices of blah, 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 Delaware Avenue, blah, blah, blah. The deadline to provide a bid on these assets is November 9th. My God, are you serious? So that would be tomorrow? No LBC tokens are included in the sale. If you wish to inquire about further details of this sale opportunity. Wow, so we would know tomorrow who acquires Odyssey. We would know who made the propositions. That would be interesting. I would like to know. I would like to know. Israeli forces assault a Palestinian mother and a daughter. Let's have a look here. We can see the daughter is here, the mother is here. Okay, well, the title of the tweet was Assault. Maybe there was an assault before the cell phone began. I don't see an assault there. Maybe the child has some issue. But Suleiman... Suleiman Hamad, sometimes he goes a little too strong on his phrasings. Israeli forces assault a Palestinian mother and daughter. I don't see an assault here. It could be even an offer for help. You have to be careful because you decredibilize the actual suffering that is well covered and that we know is happening in Gaza when you do that kind of stuff. Suleiman has to be. As to calm himself a little bit. Endgame, interest on U.S. debt skyrockets after $1 trillion, above $1 trillion for the first time ever. this is important. We are in massive expansion of interest payments on U.S. debt. We are in a debt cycle. Look at this graph. I mean, it's historical. Look at how quick it goes up. This is after Trump loses, Joe Biden gets in, and pitoo. This is a very interesting graph. It means that we are building a massive debt under Joe Biden. And what do we do in reaction to debt? We expand the money supply. So we are headed toward a phase where the government, the Fed, and all these people will all be stuck to have a policy to expand the monetary supply in ways that are historically perhaps have never been encountered. And of course, there's been massive expansion of the money supply to support the debt moment of the US. But with such an increase, this should be the kind of expansion you would need to do now to deal with this increase right here is massive. I'm trying to see we were at 0.5 trillion in 2021. We're now at 1 trillion. 2 years later, that's a doubling. The U.S. debt has doubled in sustenance cost. And the only way this can be fixed is if the money supply is expanded so that all debt suddenly looks smaller. And what that means for Bitcoin is about to rise not just because of the bull run. Bitcoin will rise as a protection against what's about to happen. I wouldn't be surprised that we reach more than 3x last bull run. I wouldn't be surprised that this bull run is headed towards some crazy 5x from the last peak, maybe. I wouldn't be surprised that instead of reaching 180k, we reach $300,000 per Bitcoin. If the events unfold as I predict, which is there will have to be a Fed move to address this, or else we are faced with rising debt costs, the government being unable to reimburse and wanting to drain more and more taxes to try to reimburse, but it kills the economy, and then you have a depression, or the Fed inflates and inflates the debt away, and in the same time creates a massive movement away from USD toward stocks and Bitcoin. Frog Eyes and gold. Frog Eyes says the issue wasn't so much an increase to money supply. The issue is the newfound money made its way over to the commercial banking side, which never happened before. The QE of previous years was isolated to the wholesale side of the banking system. This latest shift is unprecedented. Well, that's interesting to know. But of course, I wasn't talking about previous QE. I think we are headed toward future QE here, because this certainly hasn't been addressed by the past QE. The Fed will have to deal with this rise, which is still in a rising pattern. We're still up, up, up. We're still in an uncontrollable up on the U.S. debt payment. Shamrock says, not only that, how much money is being sent overseas via immigrants? That is important, because when you open your country to immigration, there is a subsection of the migrant population that is truly interested in integrating your country, and where all of their wealth will eventually benefit your country. But there is also a large contingent of migrants that are still living in their heart elsewhere. And they will eventually just take what they can from the U.S. and sometimes send it back in the form of cash to their loved ones. And that deprives the U.S. economy of an activity that could have happened internally otherwise. or they will just move back to some other country, in which case they don't just go away with what they could drain. They also sell all of their assets within the US, and it all gets pulled out. End of the line, Joel sends me a tweet on Knitter. What is this? What is this site? Mike Cernovich on Knitter says, in a relationship with a woman, really opening up and being vulnerable is the ultimate life move. She will become disgusted, leave you, no drama. Sometimes it's the only way to end things without getting a stalker on your hands. Scott Adams was saying, Have any of you men ever been conned into revealing your feelings and vulnerabilities to a romantic partner? If so, at what age did you learn it was the world's second worst advice? Number one worst advice is still be yourself. Number three is follow your passion. Yeah, interesting. I agree with what Scott Adams is saying here. You will have the explicit demand by woman to be opening to your inner emotions and that kind of crap. And it's true that first, doing it is not in your advantage, and it's not going to improve anything with the woman, and she will just perceive you less like a man, and she will. It's a form of continuum toward the friend zoning. If she's asking you to do these things, she may be misguided, but she may be worse than misguided. She may misguide you, and she may misguide you into behaving like a female. And once you're a female, she won't love you anymore. Follow your passion is not a bad advice. You have to adjust your passion to the reality of the market. But I followed my passion with the revolutionary phenotype, and that was all good. It brought me lots of joy, lots of goodness in my life. As far as number one worst advice, be yourself. It depends to who you say it. Be yourself. Maybe most people shouldn't be themselves because their selves is bad. But I think that if you have a good heart and good values and good pillars, be yourself is not a bad advice. Now, for some people, be yourself means something else. It means expose the inner workings of your mind in a way that is annoying everyone. That's certainly not the be yourself I suggest, but be yourself in the sense of offer something solid to society, sometimes against the counsels of the people around you, and follow what's truly driving you inside. That is a good advice. So I think Scott Adams is kind of right on some of these advice. Fanatical Socialist has sent a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, my University of Psychology teacher, My psychology teacher at the university rails against blank slateism, making the argument that homosexuals are fit because they increase resources for the children of their siblings. But isn't there an opportunity cost? The children they could have on their own, and they spend resources on their partners. This is the good uncle hypothesis, and it's an hypothesis to explain the evolution of homosexual behavior. If you want to argue with your psychology professor, which, I mean, depends on how much trouble you want to put yourself into, but the angle that I like, that I personally like against the gay uncle theory, is I just don't see it. I don't see massive advantages. You would have to have the case that A uncle without children who's gay is a better caretaker than than the average heterosexual uncle. But let me tell you this, I know about big families, and one thing for sure, in big families, the brothers and sisters that have had their children are much more likely to meet, much more likely to play an active role in the raising of their nephews. Because the children, the cousins, want to get together. So I don't have any evidence that homosexual uncles are delivering better care for their nephews. So the way you can challenge your professor on this is, you acknowledge what is true in what he says. What is true is the gay uncle hypothesis would work in principle. But then there's the question of, is this principle in application within the human species? Do you have data that demonstrates that the average homosexual uncle is a better caretaker for nephews in ways that significantly increase the reproduction of the nephews down the line than an average heterosexual uncle? I have never seen a bit of evidence that this is the case, and I'd be very surprised. I don't want to say something bigoted, but it is my impression that homosexual uncles are not particularly good at caring for nephews. If anything, many of them, you wouldn't want their children with them. New Guy says, this is just matriarchy talk, JF. You mean their hypothesis? Yes, it is, because they're trying to frame, they're trying to find an evolutionary justification. And the alternative to the gay uncle hypothesis, my favorite hypothesis for the evolution of homosexuality, your psychology professor could probably not digest it ideologically. He would probably vomit as he hears it. But in the case that the discussion does go that way, so you first challenge the factual nature of the gay uncle hypothesis. You say, I don't see any evidence. Do you have evidence? The evidence would have to be of that form. You need to show me that the average uncle, the average gay uncle, leads to more babies being made in his nephews than the average heterosexual uncle. You're going to have families where there's an hetero, families where the brother and sister is hetero, family where the brother or sister is homo, and you're going to have to show me that down the line, one generation, the kids of the non-homo couple has been advantaged via fitness. He had a fitness advantage. The fitness advantage could be that he either makes more babies, or he dies less, or he has more money, and more money that allows him to make more babies. Something like this. I have never seen anything of the sort. And then once you broke his heart with the factual challenge, if you want to add a layer of peanut butter on top of it, you tell your psychology professor, I have an alternative. I have an alternative hypothesis. What if the homosexual genes are genes of feminization for the homosexual men, and that these genes are good for the human species when they find themselves in a woman? Like, wanting to suck dick super hard and wanting to act fabulous may be a very, very good way for a woman to survive and reproduce. But it may be the bad way for men. But the gene doesn't care. The gene outputs this behavior. When it finds itself in a woman, it quadruples her success. When it finds itself in a man, it has a little chance of making the man gay. And that's why you have most women acting feminine, most women having a little fabulous self inside, and yet a small percentage of the male population inheriting that gene. They don't have the protection against that gene. They don't have the knockoff. They don't have whatever normally would shut down that gene in a male, and they end up fabulous. Silver Spider says, I used to get hit on by gays a lot when I was younger, laughing my ass off. It is dramatic. Dramatic. You want to create a context until your children are adult, at least, and in fact into adulthood, to protect them from these influences, because it's not that a well-raised child probably will be able to handle it once they are old enough to reject. But you never know. You never know how much pressure they will feel. You never know if they will be influenced by the propaganda of public schools and society. So there's just no other way than full control and supervision of who your children hang out with. Sense of Progress says, I have cousins in Ireland. They explained that Asians working in Ireland only spend the money they 100% have to in order to survive. They send most of their income back to India or wherever. Yeah, we see that a lot, and it's understandable, you know, especially given the exchange rates. I'm sure that when they make an American salary at the American level or English salary, I'm sure it's worth a lot when they transfer it into Indian standards of living. Chuck Garrity says, I don't understand why gays have very high rates of being child predators. I haven't seen that data. I would have to check the numbers. If you have numbers, I've heard that claim before. But I have never confirmed it by data. If you have data like this, let me know. John Drake says, Base Devolver says, JF, what do you think of my hypothesis? Well, I'm going to have to scroll up. Base Devolver. His hypothesis is as follows. Gayness was introduced into human society during the time of Paleolithic agriculture, when some muscle was needed on the farms while the alphas went hunting, but some characteristic had to be built into the male farm workers that would make them more trustworthy around the females. I've heard this is way too specific. I don't think you need to tie it to a specific setting like this. But I have heard a more generalized version of this, which is the homosexual male is an heterosexual in disguise. The homosexual male has evolved his feminine attitude and dick-sucking behavior for the purpose of deceiving other males that they were not competition for their wives. And as such, they have acquired the sneaky fucker theory. Yes, DK Shadow in Blackwater Park. The sneaky fucker theory. Homosexuality is a disguise. It's leading males to trust these homosexuals around woman. One aspect of this, I don't like this theory, but one aspect of this theory that you have to grant is good, is it would be explaining why women are friends with homos. It would be explaining why women want to go shopping with their gay friends. I like that this theory seems to be the only one that specifically gives a very satisfying answer to that question. But I think that this phenomenon of going shopping with your gay friends might be explained in the other theory, in my theory. You could simply say, well, shopping is a feminine behavior. Homosexuals have their feminine behavior turned up by this, by whatever gene is also turning up female feminine behavior in females. And so it would be understandable that they have the same kinds of interest, like appearance and clothes trying and that kind of stuff. The reason I don't like the sneaky fucker theory is I want to think that male husband jealousy is much more clever than this. And I personally, like, I can't identify with the hypothesis, because let me tell you, I wouldn't leave my home with a gay man in it with my wife and be like, oh yeah, you know, he's gay. He's certainly not going to fuck my wife. No, I'm not falling for it. So I don't know if you could invoke that some caveman once fell for the trick, but it's absolutely ridiculous to me. You will not stay with your gay friend in my home, and I will not build any confidence from this construct, which is the identity of the gay person. And I think it's such a modern theory, in the sense that the very conception that homosexuals are exclusively homosexuals is a very modern thing. I don't think that this was true even 20 years ago, let alone 1,000 years ago. Like, if you have an evolutionary theory, it has to work 1,000 years ago. 1,000 years ago, what was an homosexual looking like? Were they metrosexual? Were they looking more feminine? Were they into the culture of looking more feminine? Did they have lips kind of talking? I don't think so. So the theory only works in the modern world, where a false conception of exclusive homosexuality has been basically promoted within the homosexual community. The default mode of homosexuality, I think, through evolutionary history, has been to deny it and probably to have an heterosexual relationship. At least that's how it was back 50 years ago, back 80 years ago, 100 years ago. So there's good grounds to believe that it was like this for at least a long while. And if you go back to the caveman, did the gay caveman have a fake wife? That's the question. Were they exclusive homosexuals then? I don't know. Breaking computer science professor Loai Al-Naji, 50. Has been identified as the man who hit Paul Kessler with a megaphone, knocking him to the ground. Loai Al-Naji teaches computer science at Moorpark College in California. So this is the case of a hit by a megaphone of a Jewish man. The Jewish man fell. He was an old man and died. And there was this Jewish fan of the show who constantly harasses me on Twitter. He's very annoying. I don't remember his nickname, but he's this Jewish American guy who, I am on the right. I like JF's show, but JF, why didn't you cover the death of this Jewish man? He was kind of accusing me of turning an obsessed lens toward the suffering of the Gazans, toward the suffering in Gaza, and ignore the suffering on the Jewish side, which I'm supposed to be covering this old Jewish man who gets hit on the head by a megaphone and falls and dies from it. Your death is not does not necessarily deserve to be covered by a news show. You know, there are millions of deaths happening every day that will not be covered on this show. And it doesn't mean it's not important. I'm sure that this man's life was important to him and his family. But this doesn't look to me like a case that requires societal attention. People are saying, well, he wasn't arrested. I'm sure he's going to get arrested. But at the same time, let's be clear. He hit him with a megaphone. Is it realistic to think that he had the intent to murder here? I think he probably had the intent to commit a light assault. And it just turned out that it was on an old man who was frail enough to die from it or to die from the fall. Okay, let's just charge this computer science professor with manslaughter and see how it goes. It's not a particularly important story to me. The Israelis are celebrating their genocide and celebrating the fact that they want to build a Disneyland onto Gaza once they have eliminated everyone. This Israeli was saying, the feeling that will be after we beat Gaza and have Disneyland, Sephora, Starbucks place, and hotels with water park. And she's making a little dance. She can't wait. She can't wait to build over Gaza. That is the mood currently in Israel. They want to build over it. They want to say, here, this was a crappy place, and we're going to make it into some American center of tourism or whatever. New guy says, no, they want Gaza's offshore gas reserves. Oh, that's an interesting theory. How much of this colonialism is due ultimately to sea access? I remember that Sumi Ogog had come on this show and had discussed extensively the important gas reserves that can be obtained from oceans. It does seem important. So it could be an important factor. Now, I think that Israel has all the access it wants to these places because Gaza is really a surrounded band, you know. But perhaps they want more. Perhaps they want to simply build new ports that they control, and perhaps they take issue with the fact that there's a population there that they don't fully have under their control. So it could definitely have to see with the gas sourcing. DK Shadow says, if Israel doesn't steal the gas, someone else will. So what's the problem? Base Devolver says, do you not have guests on the show anymore? No, it's now a small solo show that I like to do. I've been tired of guests, and I've been tired at running after new guests and finding new minds. And the risks of it is we had a lot of shows that sucked. And so I consider myself kind of retired from being a super, super streamer looking for high numbers, high viewerships. You know, the stream has become a chill place for me to discuss with the internet and share my views. And guests have less of a place in this project here. Lavrov says, the West is pushing Middle East region to brink of a big war. Yes, I agree. We can see that the Anglo-Saxons literally pushing the Middle East to the brink of a big war. He further accused the US and its allies of creating millions of new refugees and spawning further terrorism, given its unconditional support to Israel and its war on Gaza. He also spoke broadly of Washington's military interventions in the Middle East and North Africa. That is how it's looking bad for America with this rising debt cost, foreign engagements that are unjustified, that will put us into things that we don't even have control of. Like, there could be some events unfolding in the next months or years that force America into a ground war. And it could happen just before the election. It could be part of the plan for Biden to be reelected. Blackwater Park says, Anglo-Saxons, is he trolling us? No, I think it's a term that I don't know how much you guys use it, but it's very much a term that we use in French, and perhaps they use it in Russia too. It's really to point to the racial constitution of the English. Like, rather than say the English race, which kind of is weird, because we want to separate English, which is a language. Anglo-Saxon is very often used in some languages, like French. And it's a particularly useful term when you want to talk of the axis that regroups both the UK and America, like the white English civilization, basically. It's becoming less and less white, and so it's in fact, here, that's actually my next news item, this graph here. Change in U.S. population for race and ethnic groups. Look at this. This is how bad the situation is. Between 2010 and 2020, all groups are making massive progress. Latino or Hispanic, 11 million more. Mix of two and plus races, 7.5 million more. Asians, 5 million more. Blacks, 2.2 million more. And whites, minus 5 million. I mean, no doubt this is a losing pattern. I once was on the fence on whether Christianity could save the white race in the U.S., but it probably can't at this point. When you look at this kind of data, it's way too strong to be reverted. The whites are in the total negative, while the other races are in the positive. The future of America is Hispanic. I believe so. I believe there's no other interpretation to this graph. John Drake says, large Western cities are no longer Western. And Real Base Talk says, Christianity is what doomed it. That's an interesting talking point, especially since my new insemination solicitor is a Christian. She is a Christian. She is a beautiful Christian and a strongly, strongly believing Christian. And I wonder what she would think of this concept, because we've been discussing this on the show for many years. James has been bringing point along those lines. The idea that Christianity is such a weak religion that it weakens the demographic constitution. It weakens the society that it takes over. And ultimately, with things like extend the other cheek, and with concepts like love your neighbor, there's too much love in Christianity. I wonder what she would think of this. I might ask her what she thinks of this, because I'm sure she would dislike the idea. I'm sure she would believe that Christianity is a strong religion rather than a weak one. Daryl says, if she doesn't try to convert you, then she doesn't really love you, JF. Well, yeah, I mean, she's trying to convert me already. I mean, I've been warning her extensively the chances are low. You know, you have to expect that I will be most likely an atheist forever. And if you are convinced that I'm headed to hell because of this, you're going to have to accept that I'm headed to hell because of this. James says, Christianity is a woman's religion. Good for them, but bad for guys. That is interesting. I love the idea. Because I do think that it's better to have the woman under a Christian belief. And I'm wondering, to what extent could we see men believing Christianity as a kind of deceptive, you know, I might as well fake my belief in God because it will allow me to have a better woman. To what extent is it a manipulative tool to set their relationship within the couple properly? And then the question, the hard question for me then would be, should I abandon my pursuit of truth to self-deceive into Christianity because it will help me, you know, control my woman better? John Garas says, fake it till you make it. Blackwater says, Jeff is the sneaky fucker. The sneaky atheist fucker. Oh my God. We have such specialized humor here on JFG tonight. Biden admin asks Supreme Court to strike down bans on trans procedures for minors. So here we have Tennessee. The state of Tennessee has banned gender transition for minors. That is great. Now, there's a case on the Supreme Court, which I hope that the Supreme Court will judge this in the mood that they were when they judged masks and mandates and vaccine mandates and that sort of stuff, which is, I don't know if they went to vaccine mandates. They did make some rulings about vaccines, but I don't know if it was about statewide mandates. Probably not. But anyways, they were in the mentality of the states implement ways of living for the American people. And the people of a state, they are setting up a way of living for themselves. And the federal government and the Supreme Court are not at the right place to intervene on this. In other words, if you don't explicitly violate a principle of the federal constitution, we should not be annoying you. And you have the right to have the ways of living that you want. Now, the question of trans procedures for minors is definitely a question that falls under the description that Clarence Thomas had given of what is the extent of state liberty. The extent is quite simple. Is there a mention in the Constitution of trans procedures for minors? Is there something, do you even have a right to medical procedures of all kind in the Constitution? You don't. And Clarence Thomas' philosophy on this is to say, well, then there's no trans procedure rights. You can create your own state where you have trans procedure rights. You can create your own state where that is a service that can be offered. But there are all sorts of medical procedures that we deny to people. If I go to an hospital and I say, hey, I'm feeling very deep inside that my arm is not my arm. I identify as an handicapped person, but I'm stuck with an arm here, which doesn't fit my self-perception. Could you please chop my arm off? If I say this to an hospital, they will deny me service. And I won't have a Supreme Court case that, hey, I need to be equally respected. I need my 14th Amendment rights to be equally respected to those arm-having people. I identify as a non-arm-having people. That doesn't exist. And so why would it exist when it's not an arm, but it's your dick? Why would you be compelled to offer dick-chopping services? That is the question that the Supreme Court has to rule to, and it's super important. It is very important, and I hope that they rule. Look, we have these leftist states in the nations that are making rules about basically everything. You can't do that kind of procedure. You can't do that kind of psychological therapy. You can't do this. You can't do that. We have to let our right-wing states be able to say you can't do something else. They have to be able to implement by the negative what they don't want to be offered as services within their society. You know, a meat company cannot sell rotten meat and say, oh, well, that's rotten meat. I'm selling rotten meat to people. No, they will get arrested in a leftist state. They will go after them. We should be able to not ban certain commerces from our society based on whether this, in this case, whether the person is able to consent to it. And when there is fraud, when there is a lie, or when there is an action done on a child who cannot consent, those are all cases that are justifiably banned under various laws and various bans that we have in our nations. Nigerian Diamond Mind says, from the bottom of my heart, thank you to everyone who used Omegle for positive purposes and to everyone who contributed to the site's success in any way. I'm so sorry I couldn't keep fighting for you. Well, what is Omegle? Is that a bot? Is that is this guy trying to send me to a pirated website? No, it is a website, Omegle. Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. In the beginning, the universe was created. This has made a lot of people very angry and been widely regarded as a bad move. Douglas Adam. Dear strangers, from the moment I discovered the internet at a young age, it has been a magical place to me. Okay, well, as a survivor of childhood rape, Omegle's moderation even had a positive impact. Omegle is the direct target of attacks. Unfortunately, the battle for Omegle has been lost. But the war against the internet rages on. Virtually every online communication service has been subject to the kinds of attack as Omegle. Okay, but what is Omegle? What was it, Nigerian Diamond? I don't know what the website was. What was it about? It is signed founder of Omegle.com. What was Omegle doing? We have a couple of super chats. Dinologovich says, JF, decline in testosterone and reduction in IQ. Connected? Oh, that's an interesting hypothesis. It's interesting. Very interesting. I don't know if it's connected. You could think that it is. You could think that there's a link. Definitely, I'd be open to this suggestion. The testosterone has been dropping since around the 70s, before a little bit, even before. So we have an onset of the phenomenon maybe in the 60s, 70s. Okay, so Omegle was a freedom of speech chat website via video. All right. Well, I did. I think I may have seen the term omegle at some point, but I have never used it. Interesting. Well, so you are. Are you the founder of Omegle, Nigerian Diamond Mine? Or are you just reporting on his words? Rodin Acid says, Jeff, Omegle was a site where bored people with a webcam could go and get randomly connected to other people with webcams around the world. Of course, you see crazy people, but there were all kinds of normies too. Okay, so it's the famous website that you keep seeing in all these... in all these things where they are kind of rotating like a chat roulette of some kind through various random webcams out there. Nigerian says, no, but my friend knew the person who founded it. Okay, well, yeah, I mean, I guess they must have had a lot of trouble. They must have been in a lot of trouble. Because when you do that kind of random stuff, it allows exploiters to show sex stuff. And then there's the whole question of children having access to this. Yeah, I'm not surprised that they were heavily targeted and heavily hated. But I like this kind of cowboy attitude with the internet. And wow. So Omegle is gone. I've never used the site, but I've seen a lot of these clips where people are laughing their ass off because they end up seeing some random person popping up with some ridiculous clothes or whatever. Black Tie sends a super chat. He says, if you had to make a guess as to why existence is here and you would lose your life if you guessed wrong, what would your guess be? Well, why existence is here is very, it's very, a very tough question. But I need to save my life because I'm going to die if I cannot address an insightful answer to your question. So I would say that most likely, existence exists because inexistence cannot support its own continuation. I believe that this might be an answer that captures most possibilities and that might actually give you some weirdly advanced insight into why things like the universe exist, like structures of any kind exist. It's very possible that it would be captured by existence exists because inexistence is unsustainable. Because continued inexistence is hard to maintain. When you think about, for example, the emergence of life, why does life exist? Well, ask yourself the question in reverse. What if you had to play whack-a-mole with every single molecule on Earth to ensure that life never exists? Oops, one life has stemmed here. Oops, 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 oops. The game of whack-a-mole, at some point you have to lose it, you know? And you can see existence of anything. And that is, I'm inspired by making the parallel between life and existence of anything else by the intro to The Selfish Gene by Richard Dawkins. Because he does ask the question in this intro, why do things exist? And one way to look at it is things end up having to exist because maintaining inexistence of these things is too costly. There's too many moles to whack. And perhaps there was too many moles for the creation of the universe to be retained from happening. Fanatical socialist, I have addressed your question, and Balloon Nut has sent $15. Thank you so much for the support. He says, Jeff, is there any possibility for prenups to restore legitimacy to the marriage contract? Also, when can we see your hot girlfriend? For now, my hot girlfriend has chosen not to present herself at the camera. I think it's better that way. I think the whole Mama JF craziness adds so many risks that I wouldn't want to happen. So for now, she will not be showing her face to the camera, and it might be like this forever. We'll see. Yeah, so I think that is it for. Oh yeah, Balloon Nut and his question, because that was a two question super chat. So can prenups restore legitimacy to the marriage contract? They can in the domain where they are applied, and strictly in the domain of financials of the divorce. So there are some prenups that do work in some states that do implement them. Now, it's rare, but it can work in certain states. The problem is prenup agreements are fully underminable by when they talk about custody of the children. Because you can have the judge say, oh, well, that was your agreement, but in the family court, we do the interest of the child. And I decide that the interest of the child is to be with the mother, of course, even if she smokes crack. So the prenup is not a solution in its current implementation for custody issues of family courts. It is kind of okay in states where it works for distribution of wealth. Yeah, that is what it is. All right. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you all tomorrow. Remember that we will be having our Patreon private Subscribestar hangout, monthly JFG Tonight hangout. If you want to join at the $20 level on Subscribestar, and let me know in DM or through any communication on Discord if you want. What are your favorite days? Because I need to schedule this for next week. I want to ensure that we have people joining us for this private hangout. Frank says, je vous écoute depuis peu de temps et je me demandais, vous ne parlez pas anglais comme un Québécois. Seriez-vous français à tout hasard? Je suis un Québécois et j'ai appris l'anglais en tant que Québécois. Mais j'ai aussi un grand intérêt pour la télé française. J'ai aussi marié une Française à un certain moment dans ma vie, ce qui m'a mené à développer un accent français. Et j'ai jamais perdu cet accent français-là parce que je parle anglais, français, québécois et je suis tout mélangé à ce moment-ci. Donc... Originalement, si vous m'aviez entendu quand j'étais jeune, j'avais un accent québécois. Mais maintenant, quand je parle publiquement, je sonne comme un demi-français, demi-québécois, demi-américain. Thank you.